We'll start out, though, in Romans chapter 12. If you turn there with me. Romans chapter 12, begin in verses 4 through 8. We'll be looking at the physical circumstances in life and how those can certainly affect us in life, but they don't take away our ability to serve God and serve each other. So we'll start in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, where it says, "For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of it. However, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them properly, if prophecy in proportion to one's faith, if service in the act of serving, or the one who teaches in the act of teaching, or the one who exhorts in the work of exhortation, the one who gives with generosity, the one who is in leadership with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We see here verses talking about the body. Talking about the body of Christ and how we are to use our different gifts, use our different talents for the benefit of the body. We see in verse 4, to go along with the physical body that we all have, that there are different parts that make up the human body, but they all work together for the betterment of the body. There are certain things we know that hands do that aren't as good as what the feet do, or whatever example you'd like to use. And there's different strengths and weaknesses there. And it's the same thing with the body of Christ. There are some things that we are more comfortable with, more equipped to do than others. And there is the purpose there, as verse 6 will talk about, that the gifts that we've been given are according to the grace given to us, and we're to use them properly. That with the talents we have, we're to use them, certainly to serve God, and as a byproduct of that, is serving His people. We see in Matthew 25, where Jesus will talk about that those will say that they never saw Jesus hungry or naked. And where did we see like this? Jesus said, "The least of these you did unto me." The idea that we're serving God by serving others as well. And we see that in Jesus' teachings, certainly. And it's the focus that we can serve each other, but to use our gifts properly. That we all have different skill sets, and that's such a blessing in life to think about. Just if we were all the same person, all the same personality, that probably wouldn't be a great joy to be around. But we're all different. We all bring different things to the table. We all have different opportunities to enhance the body of Christ. It's important that we use them. And that that opportunity doesn't expire, regardless of what comes in our life. Is that we have different gifts, and we need to use them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17 and 18 will render it, verse 17 will render it that if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? And then also talk about in verse 18 that God has arranged the body, each one of them, just as He desired. There's a purpose to this body of Christ, that we have to be able to help each other, to serve each other, and that we have these different gifts, these different talents to use to help better the body of Christ. And that the fact of the matter is that you matter and are needed in the body of Christ as well. That is something that does not change. There is a need and a desire to what you bring to the table, to the help that you bring to the body of Christ, and we have to understand that. And that never changes as well. There are circumstances in life, though, and focusing on physical circumstances this morning, that can cause us to think that we have less value, less ability to serve in the body of Christ. We could think that whatever it may be from a physical standpoint, I'm not able to do as much, therefore I can't serve anymore. May think that we are too old, and therefore we can't serve in the body of Christ, or that we're too young, and that we have to wait until we're older to do that. May think that our past is full of too many mistakes, and therefore I cannot serve in the body of Christ. I cannot serve my brothers and sisters. I can't serve God. And the reality of all of that is it is not true. Is that we are all able to serve God despite whatever we put on the other side of that spectrum. We are able to serve the body of Christ. Looking at some biblical people here, we see Moses, we see Gideon. They both will voice their excuses to God. Moses talking about that he couldn't speak well. Gideon saying, "I'm the least from the smallest tribe. I'm not able to be the one that you were going to choose, God, to go fight," paraphrasing there what he said. But it was certainly that we see that they were able to. Why were they able to? Because God was with them. They were focused at least at first, on what they thought they couldn't do. That I am not able to do these things, and God has clearly shown them. And we see in the rest of their story that they were able to do those things that they said they couldn't do. We see with Zacchaeus and David, both short guys, Zacchaeus probably more famously for that than David. And they had these ability to make excuses from a physical standpoint. David could have said that I'm not able to fight Goliath because not only is he huge and I'm not big like he is, but I'm a smaller guy, I'm a youth. He's been a champion, a warrior since his youth. There's a difference there. He could have used that as an excuse, but he did not because of what Goliath was doing to his God and to his people. And so he was going to stand up despite the physical limitation that he may have had. We see with Zacchaeus certainly also being shorter that he could have said that I am not able to see Jesus, that there's this crowd in front of me, I'm not going to be able to see him, and so I'm just going to go about my day. And that could have been the excuse he took. But he's going to climb that tree. Why? Because he wants to see Jesus Christ. He wants to see Jesus and longs to see him. Despite of what could have held him back, he was going to look to see Jesus. And these are things that, again, could have held them back, but they're not going to, that they didn't let hold them back because God was with them. They were possible excuses, but they used them, used these opportunities to serve God. We also see service while suffering that we see. We see Jesus as well in various instances. And certainly want to focus on the certain ones behind me. I'll turn over to Luke chapter 23. And we'll be talking about some verses from John 19 as well. Is that regardless of what we, to the previous point, what we may lack, we can still be of service to Christ. Certainly, what we just talked about with the four guys we just talked about, that they lacked more things that are certainly, that they couldn't change physically. We lack things that we might not be able to change, but we can still be of service. And certainly, we can also be of service in suffering. We see in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, we see that Jesus is going to offer peace and salvation to the robber on the cross, while Jesus himself is also on the cross. We see in John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, Jesus is going to make sure that his mother is taken care of, again, while he is still on the cross. John chapter 19, verse 28, we see that Jesus knew what needed to be accomplished and made sure that it was accomplished, all that was fulfilled for the while he was on the cross and making sure that that was done in the way that it was said, in the way that it needed to be done. We see in Luke 23, in verse 34, that Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We see these things. In the midst of all of these things, Jesus Christ is on the cross that we just talked about. In the midst of excruciating suffering that none of us understand, his focus, in just those four examples, and you could look at more, his focus was on other people, on what he could do to help others. The whole purpose he was on the cross was for other people, for you and for me. That he certainly was there to die for those that were physically there, as well as those that were to come. That he was there and died for their sins. That he could have looked at them and said, and looked at us and said, they don't deserve my love. I have treated them perfectly as the way they deserve, time and time and time again. And they put me on this cross, nailed me to it, are laughing at me while I'm on it. They don't deserve my care. They don't deserve my service for what I've done for them already. That's not his focus. His focus is on what he could do for others despite what he was facing and what he has done for all of us. The amazing sacrifice and service that he did for our sakes, that we are able to imitate that like Stephen did in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, Stephen imitates Jesus' example in the midst of suffering. Stephen, we don't see too much in Scripture, but we certainly see his amazing faith in the book of Acts. We see that Stephen here is teaching the truth and to an audience that it was not wanting to be receptive of it, and is clearly laying out the truth, and he's going to be stoned for what he said, for standing on the truth. As we see in verse 57, they are going to push him in 58, they're going to push him out of the city and begin to stone him. And in the midst of this, while they are doing this, Stephen calls on the Lord in verse 49, or 59, says, "Lord, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. You see, Stephen could have taken this attitude of, God, you could intervene and do something. These people, I stood up for your truth, and these people are killing me because of it. And it could have had this hatred towards these people for what they had done, were doing to him. But his attitude was of service. He went on the behalf of the people that were killing him to ask God to not hold it against them. Similar to the example of what Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is that Stephen here was caring of them despite of what they were doing to him. Despite he could have been so focused on the physical circumstances he found himself in, his focus was on other people, on how he could serve in the midst of some excruciating suffering. If you turn to Romans 12 for a moment, Romans chapter 12, you know, there are some examples we can even see today in our lives of those that, despite their physical circumstances, serve the body of Christ. I talked about my brother, all of our brothers in Christ out in Colorado, and my friend out there, and that he had this opportunity that he could have said, I cannot see like I was able to, so therefore I can't serve anymore. But the fact of the matter is, despite that suffering, it is a trial. There is no taking away from that. It is not something that can hold you from serving the body of Christ. Were there things he might not be able to do anymore? Absolutely. But he was still able to serve, and he did. He did, and I have no doubt in my mind he is doing so this morning, and is going to continue as long as the Lord gives him. It is such a blessing and encouragement to see. There's a brother, and I've never met him personally, but I've seen some of his things on Facebook, named Matthew Basford, is a preacher. And he is such an encouraging example. He has ALS, and it's taken nearly almost all of just the basic human functions. And you see time and time again what he posts is this idea of, I'm not able to do this anymore, but I appreciate that I am able to read my Bible still, or that I am able to have this aspect of my life. There are basic things that he cannot do that we take for granted every day, and yet he is still encouraging the body of Christ. He is posting on Facebook, posting these thoughts, encouraging people he's never met like me, and being of service in the midst of when he could have said, I can't serve anymore. I can't even do basic human functions anymore. But he was still able and still focused on the ability to serve the body of Christ. That there are things in life that can be taken away from us, our health, certainly. But one thing that will never be taken away is our ability to serve Jesus and to serve God, and to serve Jesus as God, but also to serve His people. And we have that ability to do that. We are all valuable parts of the body of Christ, have a responsibility to serve one another as to better the body of Christ, to use our gifts properly. And that doesn't expire. There is not an expiration date or a thing that is going to keep us away from that. If you want to serve, you will find the way to serve. We see that in examples in Scripture. We see that with those two examples brought up from men today that have these opportunities. And there's many more that you could think of that use their circumstances. And although they could have focused on what they lost, they're serving God with what they have. And it's such a powerful and encouraging thing. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 21. These are all things you can do of service, and these are all things that cannot be taken away from you, regardless of the physical. Verses 10 through 21. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Those verses there, you are able to serve. Those things do not change. There are things we can focus on that we are not able to do anymore, or we may not have this skill set, but we are still able to serve. There is a focus and a responsibility that we all have, and it doesn't change until one of two days come, which is the day we die or the day of judgment. We have the ability to serve, and that does not get taken away from us. We need to understand that we have the ability and value. You have an extreme value always to the body of Christ, to God certainly, but also to your brothers and sisters. You can make such a difference. Such a difference. Even in things that you may think aren't that big of a deal, whether it's writing a card, shooting somebody a text, where it may not be that big of a deal, may not take that much time, but can absolutely encourage someone's day, change someone's day, and we have the ability to do that. Even if what we're facing is so difficult, we have the opportunity to serve. And it's an important thing to do. We also have the ability to serve despite where we are. If you turn to the book of Philippians, this Philippians is certainly a book of joy. It is used, the word joy or rejoicing is used 16 times in this book. And certainly it's an amazing thing just in that in and of itself. But also with the idea of where Paul is physically while he is writing this letter to the church in Philippi, that he is in prison while he is writing this. And it is important to note that as all Scripture is inspired by God, certainly this Scripture is inspired, but also that the physical circumstances of where Paul is at while physically writing this adds power to some of these things we're going to read. If you look at verses 3 through 4, we see that, particularly in verse 4, that he is offering prayer with joy in his every prayer for you all, to the church of Philippi. Verses 8 through 11, we see this longing, this care for the group there, despite where he is. He could be focusing on, I am not able to be with the brethren there, so therefore I cannot serve them. And that is not his attitude. He is serving them in prayer, is serving them in many avenues, certainly in the writing of this letter. We see in verses 12 through 21 more of his service, and we'll go ahead and read those. It says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Now most of the brothers and sisters trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking that they are causing the distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. But not only that, I also will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my defense, your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We see what Paul could have focused on. But the fact of his attitude is that, as it starts out in verse 12, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He takes joy in what he has done because of his circumstances, what it has done for the brothers and sisters in Christ. We see in verse 14 at the end that because of his imprisonment, that there are brothers and sisters that have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul could have focused on, I am not able to serve them because I am not there. He was able to serve them. They were able to see his example and took courage and were going to teach and live for God even more so despite what had happened to Paul. We see in chapter 2, in verse 17 and 18, Those verses say, "But even I am being poured out as a drink offering. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." Essentially, if you want to paraphrase that, is if I die because of my service of your to you of to your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Rejoice with me, even if I die for what I have done, for this opportunity of and the blessing of being able to serve them and aid them in their faith. He rejoices in that because of, again, where he is at does not hinder his ability to serve, does not hinder his ability to help the body of Christ. It is such a focus that we have and can understand we can serve. We always can serve. We can oftentimes let what's happening to us, where we are in life, say that I am not able to help or I'm not able to serve. Just as we talked about with writing a letter or sending a text. You don't have to be in the room for someone to be able to be encouraged by that. But yet they are still greatly encouraged. You can encourage someone in a physical sense when you are there in the room with them. Or when you are across the globe, you are able to encourage. You are able to be a valuable member in the body of Christ. We see this in Philippians chapter 3 as well. In verses 4 through 6, we see what Paul has was able to take confidence in, what he was able to boast in if he chose to, in the flesh, and lists of various things there. But what he's going to do is he's going to count them as rubbish or as trash, as verse 8 will talk about. But Paul could have lived this worldly lifestyle, had the opportunity to do so. We see in Philippians 4 and verse 12 that he'll talk about that he knows how to live in prosperity. He could have lived in this lifestyle had he chosen to, but he knew what he had found was of far more value and wasn't looking back in the rearview mirror and longing for that lifestyle, but he kept going. He counted what was behind him as garbage because of what he had found and pressed on and kept going, as verse 14 of chapter 3 will mention. And where this gets Paul, again, is that Paul is in prison while writing this. That if he had taken this worldly lifestyle, likely would not have ended up in this spot, certainly for the reasons that he is where he is. We know in 2 Corinthians 11, there is a list of things that Paul lists that he faced, the amount of times he's been beaten with rods, that he's been shipwrecked, he's been stoned, amongst many more. And that because of Paul giving up this lifestyle, this fleshly lifestyle he could have indulged in, that he is in jail, he has gone through so much suffering, and yet it's not that of any regret, that he has been of service to the body of Christ. He has been service to God, first and foremost, and the fellow Christians, fellow brothers and sisters that he has. And he went through a lot, and there are those that go through a lot today. But we are still able to serve. We still have a responsibility and an importance and a value to do so. We all can serve. We all can serve. We all can do what we need to do for the body of Christ. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the ability to serve, as I keep saying, hopefully keep stressing, regardless of what we're facing. It doesn't belittle what we are facing, the difficulties we're facing. I'm not trying to say that by any means, nor is the Bible say that because of your circumstances you can serve. That doesn't mean your circumstances are of little value. They are still a difficult thing and something that is cared for by God. We have the opportunity to give those to God. That's where we should look first and foremost. But as verse 26 will talk about, is that we can look to the body as well. And if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. We have a responsibility to serve the body of Christ, to aid each other in whether it's setting up different events for opportunities of fellowship, whether it's teaching Bible classes, and that opportunity doesn't expire as well. That your kids do not have to be in that age group to be able to teach Bible class. You are still able to do that. You are still able, regardless of your age, to be able to serve, regardless of physical circumstances, to be able to serve. But also, the body is supposed to serve you as well. That's the beautiful thing. The body cares for each other. and that we are able to rely on each other. When we are suffering, that the body suffers with it. If a part is honored, all parts rejoice with it. That we are one. We are all one, and we are able to go through this life with this body together. We see that an illustration, if you will, that if there is something that has been caught in the foot, for example, and you know the hand is certainly very good at being able to grab things and get it out, right? If there's something that's a hindrance. But if the foot doesn't tell the hand, hey, there's something that's bothering me, I need you to get this out, then the hand is not able to help because it doesn't know. We have certainly an importance that we are able, that we are not alone. We are able to tell others about what we are facing and receive that help. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, just to offer an example, or 14 through 17 rather, is we see example of Paul here longing for the opportunity to give them the opportunity to serve. I'll just go ahead and read those. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my difficulty. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. That Paul receives this gift, whatever the gift may have been, and it's not that Paul focused on the gift and what I have gotten, but what he looks and what he sought was the profit that increased for them. Sometimes we don't like to receive help from other people. We think we can do it on our own. As we talked about in Bible class, it's an important focus to certainly know that we can't do it alone. We got to go to God first and foremost. And it's a blessing to be able to do so. But also go to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can let them serve. I think that sometimes we don't look at it that way. That we think I can handle it on my own instead of allowing your brothers and sisters to give them the opportunity to serve. Whether that is praying for you, whatever it may be. And there are a multitude of things that can be thought of. But we have the opportunity as the body to serve each other and to allow others to serve us. And it is such a blessing. We see in James chapter 5, verse 16, we see the power of prayer there, and it uses the example of Elijah in the following verses. And it's such amazing power in those things. We see again in Acts chapter 16, Paul again is in prison there for the faith. And in verse 25, we'll go ahead and turn to Acts 16. I don't want you to take my word for it. Verse 25, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God in the midst of where they are. This earthquake is going to occur, and we see that the chains are going to become loosened of the prisoners there. They have the opportunity to leave, but they don't. The jailer was going to take his own life there, and Paul stops him because of that. It stops them and says that they are all there. And the jailer's prompted to, in verse 30, because of what has happened, will say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Again, Paul is in jail while writing this, or while being in this story here that we see. And yet there are souls that are saved. In verse 33, at the end, that the jailer was baptized and his whole household. Certainly they had to live faithfully until death. But at this current point in time, were saved souls. And despite where Paul was able to serve, able to introduce people to the gospel. It is such an amazing opportunity. Regardless of where we are, what we face, we can do that. We can introduce the gospel or re-emphasize aspects of the gospel and encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ. To just throw up those verses that we talked about, we are able to serve God and His people. That is something we are always able to do. And the fact is, despite what we are facing, we are able to help in the body of Christ. We are able to serve God and serve His people. That's a responsibility we always have. We can look at our circumstances and think that we don't have the ability or don't have the responsibility to do that anymore. That is not true. We have the opportunity to serve, to help each other. It's important we do so. And it's also important that we let others help us as well. We're not in it alone. We don't have to be in it alone. It's not how God intends it to be. to be able to lean on Him first and foremost, and to lean on His children, His fellow children. And we have that opportunity now. We have the opportunity to join this body in Christ if we haven't already, and to do so by baptism, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And it is necessary for salvation, as the Bible teaches. We have that opportunity to do that if we haven't already. We also have the opportunity to start with right now, if we haven't been serving, if we have perhaps walked away from what we need to be doing and lived a life of our own choosing instead of what God has called us to do. We have the opportunity to start right now. It's what we have is the present, to make sure we are living and are doing what is right for God. We have the opportunity to serve the body right now. If we maybe have in the past but have thought that we couldn't anymore, we can start right now with that opportunity. Regardless of how big or small the act we may think, it is of value, first and foremost, to God, but also to the other people. More than we can even realize sometimes. Is that Satan just wants us to stop serving, stop living that life by any means necessary. And that is something that cannot be taken away from us. He can't take it away. Regardless of whatever what-ifs we can look at, He is powerless against our God. And we are able to serve and to do that. And we have that opportunity now to get right with Him if that is something that we need to do. That is something you need to do. Please come forward as we stand and sing.